Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction from my bathroom. You can probably hear the echo. The podcast is about the items we wear and what they mean to us. The good memories, the bad ones, and those that wake us up 3 a.m. in the morning howling at the moon for mercy. This is the third episode of season 6, which means there's so much to catch up on if you haven't joined us before. Here's Sarah Parrish on her shrinking underwear, William Boyd on his Bavarian jackets, and Lulu on posh girls' hair. Later in this episode, we've got another musical treat from our house band duo, a beautiful track from their brand new album, Gig in Your Garden. But let's get to today's guest. She's been in more than 100 TV dramas and movies, thousands of West End performances, dozens of radio plays, written 2 autobiographies. But this is her very first podcast. It's the glorious Dame Sheila Hancock. So let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. It's Dame Sheila Hancock. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, I'm as all right as anybody else, quite honestly, in this horrible situation. But yeah, I'm fine.
Have you been vaccinated yet?
Yes, I have, twice. But I've been warned. I've got a thing called rheumatoid arthritis, and take a lot of autoimmune injections and things. And they warn me that possibly they may cancel out the vaccination. So I still have to be very careful. So
yeah,
but I they're doing clinical trials about that now. So well, no. I mean, I think the fact is, up until now, they've only been injecting healthy people and the tests. So now they're going to see how it affects all the people with various illnesses.
And are you at home alone, or do you have someone with you?
No, I'm at home alone. I'm at home.
Oh, Sheila.
Alone. Yeah, it's very difficult. But I am supposed to be delivering a book, which I've done a lot of looking at blank pages.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it.
Oh, I don't. I must say, it does affect your mind, doesn't it, really, this whole situation? The fact that I'm usually meeting girlfriends and having chats and, you know, and working. I mean, my whole discipline is built around work, really. I mean, that's my schedule. So without it, I have no schedule, and I don't know how to do it. I wander around.
But do you find with the writing, because I'm starting, like you with your third autobiography, I'm starting my third novel, and one would think, everyone goes, this is the perfect time for you to start.
Yeah.
I mean, forget it. There's always something else to do. I don't know what, you're so right. There's something in the, I don't know what it is, but I can't find the motivation or the will to do it.
Yeah. And also, I have a house in France, a little very primitive house in France, and that's where I usually write. I mean, I've written 5 books so far, and this is my 5th, and I've always written them down there, where it's very secluded, and my neighbours sort of are there, but we don't interfere with one another, and nobody phones me very much because they think I'm on holiday, and in fact, I'm not, you know.
Mm.
So I haven't been there since last March. And
whereabouts in France is it?
It's in an area called the Vaucluse in Provence.
Oh, I know. I know really well. We used to have a little house in, my parents did, in near Saint-Rémy, Mausanne, which isn't so far away. But I remember Vaucluse, the amazing antiques fair there.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Île sur la Sorgue is the sort of centre of the antique place. And I live in a funny little village, a little hamlet, in fact, and Yeah, and I can't get there, which is awful, because I do feel I'm sort of dual nationality, really. I love my French bit, and I miss it.
And so with your writing, I didn't realise that you actually written 5 books. If you were told, okay, you can have writing or acting, which one would you choose?
Acting, because I just like to be with my mates. You know, it's a solitary business, writing, and I would give anything to be. And in fact, hopefully I will be in May. There's something scheduled and we'll go with that. But I miss terribly also the fact, you know, when you get old, it's very easy to get into the trap of talking about nothing but hip replacements, you know, and rheumatoid arthritis and all that. And thank God in my job, I meet young people who really are very bored with that. So I find I'm talking about other things with them. And I miss that. I miss that. And I miss my young grandchildren. I Zoomed yesterday with one grandchild who's in Cardiff at the moment at drama school. And we had a good old moan and it was lovely. It was lovely. But I want to, you know, I do want to be with them. It's not the same. It's wonderful, all this technology. God knows how people survive without it and how we all would have survived without it. I mean, you know, it would have been dreadful, the isolation, and how you get the message across. Mind you, so much of the message is lies. We might have been better off without it. But it's a funny old situation. It really is.
But were you kind of au fait with technology before this, or has lockdown kind of forced you to become an expert-ish?
Well, it's been hard. It's been hard work because, like anybody of my age, we didn't even have computers, you know, I mean, or calculators or any of those things. When I was young. So, and now I am much more into social media than I was. I mean, I always rather ignored it. I thought it was rather boring, the idea of when you can meet people face to face. Why? I used to go out with some of the young companies occasionally when I was working, and they'd be looking at their phones or photographing or something, and I used to say, look, for God's sake, be here now.
Hello, I'm here.
Stop talking to this person on the phone. But now, it's wonderful.
But it is bonkers. I mean, I can have it's kind of like I find with my children, who are probably similar age to your grandchildren, and not the elder ones now, they've kind of grown out of it. My youngest daughter, she will have a friend when we were allowed to, they'd be in the room together, talking on their bloody phones to each other. It's like, I know. For God's sake, you're next door to her.
I know, but it's their world. I mean, you know, we've got to accept it. That is their world. And thank heavens. You know, that's the way they're meeting their mates now, with all the gaming and all that. Otherwise, they'd not have any playtime at all, would they? I mean, I work a lot in education. I'm very involved with education. And what's happening in the schools is terrifying. You know, I mean, the children are so confused and the teachers are worked off their arses. And it's really, really terribly difficult. So that's the worrying thing for the future. We've got to sort that out.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you. I think it's the most important thing is to get that sorted. But so you've just been honoured with a damehood, haven't you? And I read somewhere that you said you were lowering the tone of dames, for goodness sake. That's bollocks.
Well, I do rather feel that. I'm not the sort of, I mean, it's taken me completely by surprise. And I was a bit not upset, but worried about it when I was told, obviously, before it was announced, a couple of months before, or a month before, I think it was. And I thought, oh, God, this is so embarrassing, because I really don't deserve it, and I'm not the right type. Normally, it's sort of rather grand people that get damehoods, and I felt really bad about it until it was announced, and I got this avalanche of mail from all sorts of people saying, why didn't it happen before, and things like that. And I thought, my God, people actually think I deserve it, which is, so I felt a lot better. I mean, there must be other people who are thinking, oh, for heaven's sake, it's so embarrassing, these terrible, awful working actresses, which is what I've always considered myself, being honoured. But I think part of it was I do quite a lot of work apart from my acting job, and I think maybe some of it was for that. But I was embarrassed by it. But then I looked at the list, and it was a wonderful list, actually, this year. It was very multicultural. It was very ordinary people. It was kind of different. I don't know whether you noticed. And I did feel I fitted in better with the lot this year than I would have done other years. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And grander actresses got it.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful. And it opens doors, you know, in the manner of, for my charities, you know, if you put a dame in front of it, it seems people are more willing to give you money. So
of course.
That's the only time I use it. I don't use it in real life.
So, Sheila, you're kind of quite well known for not really giving a monkey's about clothes. So if you were going to go to the palace, which you will do at some point, have you considered what you might wear?
Well, I did go to the Paris.
Did?
Yeah, for CBI, for my CBE, which I got before this. And I borrowed clothes, I think, for that. I borrowed a hat, certainly. There's a wonderful shop around the corner that loans out hats, and I borrowed that. And I can't remember what I wore, quite honestly. I mean, I really am not in the least bit interested in clothes. I think it's partly because it's my profession to dress up. Do you know what I mean? And I am interested when I'm playing a character that I get the shoes right and I depend an awful lot on designers and people. The only time I almost ever go shopping is with the designers on televisions and theatre shows. I go with them and they pick things out and then I buy them after the show if they fit me. Like I did a show called Delicious where I wore really lovely clothes and I bought them afterwards for a reduced price after the show finished. And I've done that all my life. If something suits me, then I buy it. I love secondhand shops. I got a series coming up that I think starts in March, and you'll see I wear it. It's on a canal boat, and I think
is that Unforgotten?
No. Oh. The Unforgotten. I am wearing these terrible old corduroys that I'm wearing now, which I've had for about, and it was perfect for the part, and a terrible jumper of John's, a very very old jumper of John's, because I wanted to look like a sort of intellectual lying in bed who doesn't give a damn. So I thought corduroy baggy trousers were the absolute thing. And I've got them. I mean, I've now lost a lot of weight, so they're miles too big for me. But I live in them. They're so comfortable. And I in Edinburgh, I had a film called Edie that opened in Edinburgh Festival. And while I was there, I discovered that they have the best secondhand shops in the world, I think. Really amazing. And I bought a load of stuff there, including, in one corner, there was a pile of sort of things in bags right where I can show you. I know it's a podcast, but there you are.
That is not a pile of clothes. Okay, Sheila is holding up like a little red shoe bag.
But there a lot of them. And inside is a Macintosh, and it's an original Mary Quant Pack-a-Mac, you know? Multi-color thing. So I bought the lot. I think there were about 10 of them, which this bloke had picked up in some factory or something. And I gave them to all my grandchildren, and they wear them on their bikes. But fabulous, fabulous stuff. And it cost me nothing. And I got this vintage piece, which I love. And I wear it on the show, actually, because it's great on a canal, because you can use your arms, you know. And I just find it easier to shop that way and think that I'm doing something. I mean, it is partly ethical in as much as we must stop buying cheap frocks that we wear once and then put into landfill. It is a disaster. Mm. I'm glad to say that all my grandchildren now have stopped that when they realised, A, how those clothes are obtained, usually in underpaid workers, pay, that's why they're so cheap, and also they just throw them away. Whereas if I do buy anything, usually, as I say, something I've worn on a show, I pay a lot of money for it because it lasts forever. You know, good stuff lasts a very long time and doesn't lose style, strangely enough. Most of them stay sort of classical, you know.
But you're someone, you've always been someone, you say you have no interest in clothes, But you have, and I might be totally wrong, but you seem to have a painterly eye because you love colour and you always wear colours that suit you. So, for example, the top you're wearing now is this beautiful kind of petrol blue, which is the same colour as your eyes.
No, it isn't. It's green, actually. It's distorted.
Oh, well, I can't freaking well see. But what
is it? But it is looking blue. It is looking blue. It's the lighting on this thing. Yeah, I mean, when I buy clothes that I've used in the show, they've usually been chosen by the designers because they match my eyes or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And I think I have a sort of sense of style. If I have to make the effort, if I go on a television show or something like that, then I have a kind of, now, thank God, I should do at my age, know what suits me. Do you know what I mean? And I am fortunate that I've always been, I'm less tall now because I've shrunk, but I'm tall and slim. And that's a big advantage, you know, for clothes. And designers usually like shoving things on me because they, in fact, one of the problems has always been if I'm playing a shabby part is to make me look very shabby, because immediately if you're slim, things look quite good on you, you know. But I just, I hate shopping from the depths of my soul. My grandchildren, I buy them clothes. I love them because they do think I've got good taste and, you know, and I help them choose. But what I do, my favourite is to go to a shopping mall, which, of course, we can't do now, and I sit in a cafe and they put things on and come and show me. And then I say no or yes and give them the money. Do you know what I mean? But I went into Topshop once. I thought I'd die. I thought I was going to die. The noise of the music, trying to find somebody to speak to, and trying to find your way out. I mean, I couldn't find the exit. And I said, what happens if there's a fire, Lola? We'll never get out of this dreadful place. But it was, I can't do it. I can't do it. I really can't.
But, you know, Sheila, I've got to say, I mean, my profession has been in supposedly fashion, although I don't consider it that. I consider what Trini and I did as more kind of psychological addressing people. But I am so with you. I would rather chew off my left arm than go into a shop now. And I buy everything online. And I don't do vintage shopping so much, but I buy everything on eBay. And I click the used button and everything is used that I buy. And my God, so I might go on to, it's amazing. So the other day I was looking for this cardi, which I really love. And it's quite expensive. And I thought, well, I'll just see if it's available on eBay. It's quite new, you know, it's kind of come out quite recently. And so I typed it in, lo and behold, there was the cardigan. It was £300 new and I got it for 40.
Wow. Oh, that's pleasing, isn't it? That is a really...
Isn't that amazing?
That is good. One of my grandchildren, Lola, she had a wheeze. I don't think she does it now because she's too busy, but she used to go to all the smart areas like Chelsea and places like that and buy things in their secondhand shops and then model them on her little website and sell them on. And she made quite a bit of money by doing that, because she got them at a reasonable price. They were usually designer pieces because she's got a very good eye. But I love the idea of people using clothes. If it's a beautiful piece, if it's a designer piece or something like that. I mean, having said that I don't like design, I remember when I was very, very young and I was hitchhiking around Europe and, you know, sort of obviously didn't care a damn about clothes. And for some reason, I don't know why, I got invited to a Jacques Pfaff, you know, a great designer, great French designer, fashion show. I think they, why they were handing out tickets to this fashion show, I think it was some hostel and managed to get a hold of it. Anyway, I traipsed along there in my awful espadrilles and shorts, and I saw couture for the first time.
Wow.
And it absolutely stunned me. And I have, and that marvellous exhibition they had of McQueen.
Alexander McQueen.
And you look at the incredible skill of the people that have made it and design and And especially couture when it's over the top, not for wearing in the street, but just a piece of art, you know?
Mm, exactly.
That I really admire because I love art. I collect pictures of love art. And so that, if I could afford that, I would be shopping all the time. But I have one piece that is a Giorgio Armani jacket. That I bought, I think I was nominated. I'm always being nominated for things, but I was nominated for something. I never win them, I just get nominated. And I bought this thing, and it was several thousand pounds, which seems absurd, but I don't know why, but I freaked out and I bought it. This is years ago, and it's still hanging in my wardrobe. And I can't wear it now because it's so heavy. It's all diamante and bits on
beaded.
It. Beaded. And it weighs me down. But I do look at it occasionally and think, that is beautiful. That is really, as a piece of work, as a piece of craftsmanship, that is so amazing. So I do appreciate fashion. I'm not knocking fashion. But I'm just saying, for me, being in fashion has always been the least important thing in my life. It really has. I mean, I did go into miniskirts. I did buy Mary Quant. I did, you know, which is why I was so thrilled at buying that secondhand Mary Quant. And I did, you know, shop at the King's Road. But that was partly in the 60s because I was doing a lot of work then. I was in the public eye. And it was part of my job to look in trend. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't really enjoy it, not really.
How would you feel if someone said to you, because I know from my mother-in-law, this really pisses her off, but if someone said to you, oh, Sheila, you dress so well for your age, how does that strike you?
Well, I'd say thank you, but I don't know quite what it means, really, because, I mean, there are certain things that have altered with age. I don't show a lot of arm or bosom because it offends me, because it doesn't look very nice. I don't care what other people think, but I don't like the look of it. But I still wear jeans. I still wear all the things that I wore when I was young, really. And I suppose that's partly because I've never been particularly interested in clothes. I mean, I look like a bag lady now. I mean, I'm in my element. I'm in my element with this. I really am. I go about with it. I've got a woolly hat, which I will show
you. Okay, let's see it. Pop it on.
This woolly hat. Now, there's a history to this. Okay. Years ago, I was working in Leeds on a television, and it was freezing cold. And the floor manager had a hat like this on. And I kept saying, oh, God, that is so good, that hat, because it looks nice. And yet it looks all cosy and all that. Anyway, on the last day of and he said, well, my mum made it. On the last day of the shoot, he came along. His mum had made one for me. I never met her, but he'd made one for me. And I've worn it ever since. And it's marvellous. So I wear that partly to keep my hair out of my eyes because my hair's all straggly. I wear these filthy old corduroys.
Stand up. Let's see. Can you stand up and show me the corduroys?
Well, if I say that they're curled up by a belt.
Okay, when did you get those?
God, it was in some show about 10 years ago.
Okay, I think those are fab.
Yeah, I love them, but they are miles too big for me. I was obviously bigger in those days. And then I wear a sort of jumper, and I wear what was, and this is a test of paying good money for things. My dear husband, John Thor, when he did Morse and things like that, they got his clothes from Xenia in Bond Street, marvellous male designer mainly. And we got to know them very, very well. And I used to go in with him occasionally. And they started a women's line. And I was looking for a warm jacket. And there was this, what looks like, what do you call those quilted jackets? Looks like.
Oh, a puffer.
A rather elegant puffer.
Yeah.
And it was hugely expensive. I can't remember, but it was much too expensive for a puffer jacket. And the bloke in charge said, Sheila, you will never regret it if you buy this. It's lightweight, incredibly warm, and and also cool in the, you know. Anyway, I bought it. And he was right. And that's what I wear now with my corduroy trousers. I wear it, and it must be 20 odd years old, this jacket. And the thing I always wear is, well, mainly wear is this chain, because it's got the wedding ring of my first marriage and my second marriage and my mum and my dad. And I have that around my neck normally, and a life cross that I picked up in Egypt with John. And that, I look, honestly, like a bag lady. It's a wonder nobody has taken me into social services, because I got my mask on. Oh, and again, in the sun, I've got a massive hat that I did wear in the 60s. I'll show you that too. I'll show you that.
Oh my God, you are such a scream.
I get cold sores, okay? So I have to shield myself from the sun. This hat is what I wear with my mask in the sun. And this was, I wore in the 60s, Maillard it is. It's a very trendy hat, and his designs are now in the Victoria and Albert. And I just wear it as a sun hat. So that's
stunning.
Is my costume, which people do a double take on. And I do get a lot of people saying, are you Sheila Hancock?
No, you can't possibly be.
Or were you Sheila Hancock?
So how big is your wardrobe? I mean, physically, does it take up a whole wall? Is it a
room? It does take up a whole wall, but that's shoes, jumpers, television in the middle of it. And a hanging space is about 2 foot wide.
Okay.
And shelves and some
Okay. And do you have some in a box under the bed or something? Or is everything you own in that wardrobe?
Oh, no. I do have another wardrobe in another room that is dressy clothes. Yeah, but they're clothes that I bought.
You're trying to tell me you're not interested in clothes, and now we find out that Sheila Hancock has a whole room dedicated to clothes.
No, these are all clothes that I've had to buy for BAFTAs and personal appearances and things like that.
Okay.
And I've worn them once. I'm actually a designer. I can't remember. I did write it down because I thought you might ask me. I've lost the piece of paper. They're Welsh. Leicester. John. They make marvellous fabrics.
Yeah.
Patricia Leicester.
Oh, yes, yes.
Beautiful. And I've got a couple of those. And one of those I have worn several times because it's so easy to wear. It's a very thin red velvet and very flowy and nice.
Mm.
So that's good for posh occasions. But I haven't bought a posh occasion frock for years. No. These are all 20 years old, 20 years old, something like that. And they've all been bought. I remember having an argument with the tax people, because you can get an allowance as an actor for clothes if they're worn for a special occasion and not worn for your own use. Mm. I remember him saying, you wear that for your own use. I said, well, I never go to parties. I don't. Never dress up. It's obvious that I bought that for a one-off occasion and would never wear it for anything else.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm feeling that you and I are separated at birth when it comes to clothes. It's funny because I've put on a nice top for you today. This is a kind of cheap and cheerful one, but I've worn it to death. But I'm so with you on that. And there's something also that I read about you, Sheila, is that John, your wonderful, gorgeous, lovely husband, he didn't give a damn about what you wore, did he?
No, he really didn't. He barely noticed. If I was wearing anything new, or because he knew I would be nervous if it was a premiere or anything like that, and he would then occasionally say, "Oh, that's a nice frock." That's a nice frock. But no, he didn't. But he when he died, I discovered that he'd got so many suits. We had another house in the country at that time. And when I went down there, I realized there was a wardrobe full that he'd never told me about. Mm. And he used to do the same as me. He never shopped, but he would go with the designer from Morse or Sweeney or whatever. And then at the end of the show, he'd buy them. And he knew that if he told me, I'd say, "What have you bought that for?" He did Kavanagh, which was a thing about a barrister.
I remember
that,
yeah. And he
bought the wig and the gown and everything. And I said, "John, when is the occasion that you're going to wear this?" But I don't know. I suppose it was just a sort of memento of the past.
Yeah.
And do you still have all his suits?
No, I gave most of them away to a theatrical society. And I had a wonderful experience. I went to a party at St. James's Palace given by Prince Charles for a theatrical organisation, and an old bloke came up to me and said, "I'm wearing one of John's suits."
No, fabulous.
So that was just so lovely. And they also, Xenia, were very kind, and they altered some of the suits for my son-in-laws. And they did three of them as a gift, you know, and that was great.
I love your attitude towards dressing, and I love the fact that you are a bit of a style icon to your grandchildren. You don't think that about yourself, but you know, there is something about you, Sheila, that is inherently elegant. And maybe it is because you are tall and willowy with fantastic cheekbones. It's like you almost could put on a bin liner and look pretty good.
Well, I do know what suits other people. I mean, I am quite good with my grandchildren. You know, I can choose things that make them look really good, things that they wouldn't dream of getting themselves. You know? And so they trust my opinion on that, because very often I've suggested something and they've gone, "Ooh, I don't know." And then it's become their favourite thing in the world.
Yeah. So basically, you are the kind of woman who would rather spend money on a new washing machine than a new dress?
No, I wouldn't. I would get no pleasure in buying a new washing machine. I'd rather buy a picture.
Oh, okay. You see, I would rather have I've just got a new, had to replace a washing machine, a dishwasher, and it's the most exciting thing ever. And I am in love with this washing machine because it's so quick. And I would so much rather spend my money on that than some bloody bit of clothing.
Yes, well, there are a lot of things I would rather buy than clothes. An awful lot. A book, a picture, a carpet. I'm just looking around, you know, all sorts of things. I bought a carpet for two of my grandchildren the other day, one of these beautiful Afghan carpets, and that was fabulous. You know, I loved buying that because it's beautiful. I love something that involves craftsmanship and skill. I hate this fashion for cheap throwaway fashion. I think it's bad for the children. Not to care about the work that's gone into things, to respect the people that are the makers, you know.
But I think they are. I mean, I think that funnily enough, that generation, I'm sort of talking 20s and a sort of late teens, mid 20s. They seem to be very conscious of that now, which is fantastic. And you know, there are all these sites like Depop. And, I mean, my children, they never, ever buy anything new. It's all second-hand clothing. And they all look like you. They all look like bag ladies. bag boys or bag ladies.
I know.
And I love them for that. And I'll just say, okay, well, that's so great you dress like that. But just put, you know, I might get them for a birthday or something, like a nice ring or a great pair of earrings or a pair of, you know, nice shoes. And then just wear all that you know, wear the tat, and but wear it with one nice thing, and they look fabulous.
Yeah, I do that. I bought a silver chain for a grandson of mine, and because I know that that age they get into jewelry, and a ring for one of my grandchildren, and that's good. Things that are going to last, and you know, be a part of their life. I think.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. The youngsters have got a completely different attitude now.
Mm.
The ones that I know are definitely very vehement against cheap clothes.
Mm.
And that a lot of them are dressing secondhand completely.
Mm.
So where do you find, what kind of art do you like? I know this has got nothing about clothes, but I'm interested because I've discovered this artist, which I'm so excited about. But so what kind of things do you look out for, and where do you find them?
Well, they've mainly accumulated over the years, and it's been when I could afford to buy a picture, or John could afford to buy a picture. It's a complete mess, you know. I mean, it's all sorts of things. Just I love, with a passion, every one of them. I've never bought a painting for value or anything. Mm. They're not massively valuable anyway, but they all mean something to me. That was the first picture that we ever bought together. That was the first picture I ever bought alone. Do you know what I mean? And they're all rather good, actually. I mean, and I've got a girlfriend, Helen Cottrell, who is a really good artist. And I bought some of hers. And it's a very varied taste, very varied.
So do you have any, I love the fact that you have memories attached to all your paintings. Is there any item of clothing that you have a memory like that attached to?
Well, my necklace, of course.
Your necklace,
and, no, not really. Not really. I mean, they're memories of shows, usually, because I've worn them in a show, and I sort of vaguely remember the show. But I'm all for comfort now. You get to a certain age, you know, I stopped wearing heels about 15 years ago, something like that. I remember exactly the occasion. I had a beautiful pair of shoes, lace booties, and it was Sandy Toxley's wedding in the Festival Hall, and I was reading a poem, and I had to walk across the stage at the Festival Hall, and it crippled me, absolutely crippled me. And I came up that stage and said, right, never again. Heels out the window. I will never wear another heel. That was it. And I stopped. And for years, heels have always been painful to me. And they do make your legs look better. And, you know, and so I've had to wear them sometimes for a show or something like that. I wouldn't dream of looking at a heel now, not in a million years. Flat shoes are so gorgeous as well.
Yeah, they are.
I buy most of my shoes in Paris, and there's a marvellous shop there that has these specially soft shoes, and I get them there. In the sale, I go over. But yeah, I used to.
I bet you can find them on eBay, Sheila. Have a look.
Yeah. Need to try shoes on there.
Yeah, no, actually, that is true. You do. But so, would you say that your necklace is your comfort blanket? It's the thing that gives you reassurance and.
Well, you know, it's a very useful bit of jewellery, in as much as there's a marvellous simplicity to it. If you tuck the rings inside, you've just got a gold chain on. I've never looked good in jewellery. I look very tarty in jewellery. John used to love buying me earrings and things, and I would wear them, but I always looked awful in them. They were over ornate, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so your cheap date.
Yeah, sort of, but they were lovely things, and I've given them most of them away now. But I don't know. I mean, a comfort blanket. No, I don't look to clothes for comfort, really. I can't. I just bought my first cardigans. I've never wanted to buy cardigans because they seem frumpy and old lady-ish. Do you know what I mean? Twin sets.
This is so weird. I've just bought my first cardi too, which is the one I bought on eBay, and I'm in love with it. Sorry, go on.
Well, exactly that. I went shopping with one of my daughters, and I really needed something to sort of keep me warm when the house got cold, and you know, but this business of having all the windows open if somebody comes in and all that. And I said, oh, I might as well get a cardigan. But I didn't like the idea. Darling, I have lived in it. And I'm now searching for another one.
Okay, just hang on. I'm going to go and get this cardigan from my bedroom, because I know you're going to love it. Hang on a sec. I'm coming right back. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, Sheila.
Yeah?
I'm coming in.
Right.
Okay, look, can you see?
Oh, my goodness, that is lovely. Where did you get that?
This is a company called Wise, W-Y-S-E.
That's fabulous. Is it hand-knitting?
Yeah, it looks like it's hand-knitted, I think.
Oh, God.
And it's just kind of, it looks a bit second-hand, but it's not.
It's lovely. But how much was that?
For you? Well, this is the one I got for 40 quid on eBay.
Oh, my God.
And then they go for, I mean, in proper price, they're about 290 or something.
Yeah, that is
isn't that fab?
How do you do this business of getting it? Oh, you put cardigan in?
Yeah, so you go onto eBay. So you put cardigan in, and then if you put Wise, W-Y-S-E, London, and then it'll cut. There's not so much stuff from them, and then all just wool cardigan or cashmere cardigan, and they all come up.
Right.
And then you can put in used. It says condition, and then you click on that, and it comes down, and you put used.
Okay.
So I mean, I've got packages coming in every day at the moment.
I do. Well, I it's a whole new world to me. The cardigan.
Yeah. It
really is, and it's so useful. Really is. Mm. And it looks all right. As long as you don't get beige. Beige is a no-no. When I was blonde, I used to wear a lot of beige and it looked quite good. But now I look 150. Yeah.
You can only wear beige, I think, if you're olive-skinned and dark hair. Yeah. That looks great with white.
Yeah. It looks quite good with blondes, actually.
Yeah, I guess that kind of camel colour.
Yeah.
So, if you think of someone like Grace Kelly, she looked amazing sort of camely beige. As long as it's warm. So is there anyone, Sheila, who you've met who's kind of blown you away style-wise? Is there anyone who you admire for their style, or do you just not notice?
Well, it's usually people are in the 60s. I did love Quant stuff. And what's the lovely multicoloured lady who's still...
Sandra Rhodes.
Sandra Rhodes. I loved her stuff and still do. I think that's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I couldn't wear it because it's too vivid for me. But if I see somebody in it, I love it.
I agree. Because that, again, it's like, I mean, her prints are works of art. It's the same thing. It's going back to fashion as art.
When I'm in France, I sit a lot in cafes there. I am amazed at French chic. Do you know what I mean? It's not a posh place. It's a town called At, which is...
I know so well. I know it so well. Yes.
If you sit in a cafe in At, it's not your Parisians, but all the women are impeccably groomed. They really are. I mean, my lady that helps me with the house, cleans the house, her nails are always immaculate. Her hair is nicely done. They do one another's hair and nails. Do you know what I mean? But it's a weekly thing. And I think that applies to a hell. And they're not overweight. And I sit there thinking, my God, they really are. There's a chic. Like, you know that call my agent thing?
Yes. Yes, I've just been watching that. Yes, it's great, isn't it?
The lead lady in that is the epitome of French chic. You know, sort of slacks and... shirts and but just a kind of edge to it that it's very relaxed. It's like men. I love men in expensive clothes that look as though they've thrown them on. You know, Jose Marino or whatever his name is, mainly Italian clothes, or Tom Stoppard is another example of that. It's sort of nonchalant scarves, but beautifully cut suits worn shabbily, almost shabby chic, you know.
Yeah,
and I love that in women as well.
So it's so interesting talking to you. I mean, first thing, so we come on, I introduce you on the podcast, first thing you say to me, I have absolutely no interest in clothes. You and I have spoken about clothes more than any other guest I've had on this podcast. And I think you're like the 41st person I've spoken to.
Really?
And it's amazing how just your view and your take, and it just shows that, just this will probably be edited out, but it's just how everyone has an opinion on clothes, and it doesn't matter what it is, it's still going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's largely how it relates to life, isn't it? It's how fashion relates to the way you look at life, in a way, doesn't it? And if you feel worried about the way you look and whether you're appropriately dressed, I mean, it's like you asking me about clothes in old age. The wonderful joy about old age for me is I don't give a damn. And I will wear drawstring trousers because they're comfortable. And I don't think anybody should worry about it, but I will go inappropriately dressed to a party or something like that, I suppose. I always have, though. One time, I remember there was a time when I was young when I had a little black cat, and I used to take it out on a lead, and I had a black velvet trousers and top that I wore to parties with my cat on my shoulder. I mean, can you believe I was ever
I can very easily believe that. That is hilarious. That is just the funniest thing. But I think that, you know, the fact your kind of laissez-faire attitude towards clothes, that must come from a confidence. I think if you're not a confident person, then you need, like you were sort of, you touched on, you need to make more effort with your appearance, or you want to make more effort.
And I think mainly it is the 60s, isn't it, that changed everything, because I was brought up good working class girl who dressed very conventionally, and school uniform and white socks and patent shoes and, you know, all that. And then after the war, it was sort of, you know, ex-RAF jackets and things like that. And then the 60s came, and punk and all that sort of thing. And suddenly being appropriate was no longer valid. And maybe I caught it during that period. But you don't have to. I wish people wouldn't worry about the way they're dressed. I really do, because I know it does cause anguish to some people, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's so silly.
Yeah,
so silly.
I know.
So, Sheila, have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction, or have you just never noticed if you've had one?
No, I've never noticed if I have. No, I don't think I ever have, really, as far as I know. Or if I have, I haven't cared about it, you know. I mean, I saw a picture of myself the other day. I did an interview for the Salvation Army, people I really admire, because, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in pubs, and the Sally Army girls were so courageous and wonderful. Anyway, there's a picture of me. They obviously invited me to a concert, because I love brass bands as well. And maybe I was reading a poem or something like that. But I'm sitting next to the head of the Salvation Army, and they're all in their bonnets as they were in those days. Look at, and I am wearing a dress with my boobs heaving out of the top of it. And I remember the dress. It was by a designer called John Bates, and he used to make things for me for special occasions. And he really booed, because it wasn't right for the Salvation Army, I tell you. And I cringe now to think, and this woman, of course, is looking perfectly happy, and the Salvation Army couldn't care less what you wear. But but I just thought, no, that was wrong.
Sheila, that is just part. But that's a wardrobe. Well, it's a kind of a wardrobe choice malfunction.
Maybe.
So when's your memoir, the one you're supposed to be working on? Have a deadline?
Yeah, I do now, because they're fed up with waiting for it. I think I've got to finish it by May. And then I don't know when it will be published. But
how many more words have you got to write?
Oh, then? Well, it isn't that. It's been written. But it's about recent times, it's become dated and wrong. Attitudes in it have become wrong, so I've got to rewrite it.
Is it become dated because you've taken so damn long to write it?
Absolutely. I've changed since I started, so it's going to become a different type of book, but which is probably more difficult than starting from scratch, really. But I'm getting down there. I'm looking through all
the diaries. So good.
Good. Well, my final question. We're going to see you in. What's the next thing that's coming out on TV for you?
Unforgotten.
Such a great series.
Yeah. Oh God, what a series! My goodness, I do a lot of rubbish, but my goodness, I was so proud to be in it, and what a team! They've had the same team for the entire series, and it really shows. And often, if you go on a show as a guest, that can be very alienating, but they're so confident of their ability and everything. They welcome you with open arms. Mm. I loved doing the part, and it was, and they're all brilliant. It was a great film. I loved it.
When does it come out?
I don't know. I think shortly. But Charles Brandreth and I have taken over from Prue Scales and Tim West in the Canal program, you know, the Canal.
Oh, yes, I love that, yeah.
And two of them went out before lockdown, and two we shot during the first lockdown. Mm. And they go out, I think, on March the 8th. Or one of them goes out on March the 8th.
Good.
So that's coming out as well.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just always going to be watching what you know, mess you're wearing from now on. I'm going to go, oh, look, there she is. She didn't care about that.
No, in the Canal thing, do watch that, because nearly everything I'm wearing is secondhand. Really.
Okay. This is fantastic. All right, my love. Well, listen, final question. Your birthday suit, an outfit that makes you feel fabulous or sums you up. Do you have something like that? Is it your Armani beaded jacket that weighs you down?
No, I wouldn't say I feel. I think the Patricia Lester frock, the red velvet one, because it's very easy to wear and it's very unusual. It's very strange design and beautiful fabric. And I haven't worn it for a very, very long time. But I think, quite honestly, the most comfortable is good pair of trousers and a nice shirt is where I feel most comfortable. And I do that, you know, that. And I got a really nice red black velvet kind of dinner jacket in one of those Edinburgh secondhand shops, which I wear with some fitted trousers and a lovely Byronic type blouse. And I do feel quite good in that.
Yeah. You see, you have no interest in clothes, but you're very lucky to have innate style. You just pull it off. Doesn't matter what you're wearing, you pull it off.
Not always.
It's really irritating.
It really is. All right, my love. Listen, Sheila, I feel like I've known you all my life. You are just so wonderful. I really enjoy this. You put me in such a good mood.
So good. Well, it's nice to meet you.
Just lovely. Thank you so, so much. And
take care. Thank you.
Oh, Sheila, thank you. Wow, she was just wonderful company. Hope you enjoyed our chat as much as I did. Unforgotten starts on ITV on Monday the 22nd of February at 9 p.m. and Great Canal Journeys is on Channel 4 on Monday the 8th of March. Right, before we go, another track from our house band duo's brand new Gin Your Garden album. This is their haunting version of Morricone's Once Upon a Time in the West. Thank you.
Stunning, wasn't it? Find Gig in Your Garden on our show notes or by going to duoguitarmusic.com or at Duo Guitar Music on Duo Socials. Right, before we go, you can find us on our website, mywardmel.com. Follow us at mywardmel on our socials. And if you're feeling really generous, please give us a 5-star rating and review us on your chosen podcast platform. That's it. Thanks so much again to the wonderful Sheila and Duo, of course. And thanks to you for listening. Catch up soon. Until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.